Okay, my name is Chris Main, M-A-I-N, and I'm with Mr. John T. Potts, P-O-T-T-S, and the date today is 18 June 1979, and we are at Mr. Potts' home in Victoria on Douglas Street, right across from Beacon Hill Park. And Mr. Potts was later in the RFC as a night bomber, but before we get there, Mr. Potts, I was wondering if you could tell us to start with where you were born and when you were born.
Yes, well, I was born in the village of Humberstone in Lincolnshire, England, on the 13th of June, 1898. And
so you're born there.
Yes.
And what did your family do?
My family at that time were on a farm, were farmers, and they farmed until we children got the two sisters and myself. We got to read education somewhere. Father and mother moved to the town of Grimsby in Lincolnshire, to for our benefit, our education, I suppose.
Did you attend a public school or a regular?
Oh, no, I went to regular school for a start. Went from the primary to the public school and then the college. I was in college about 13 or 14, I think.
And what college would that be, sir?
Well, that college is gone now. It's called the Grimsby Municipal College.
And what did you plan to study? Do you recall what you were reading then, or?
Oh, no, just general knowledge. I wasn't specializing in anything. I think I was too young at the time.
Now, would this be a bachelor's degree type program?
Yes, or bachelor's degree type program.
In arts, or?
Arts, yes. But,
now, when war breaks out in 1914, you're attending school, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right.
Now, did you join an officer cadet?
Well, no, well, I ended the college. We had an officer cadet battalion in the college. I belonged that for 2 or 3 years. We had maneuvers and such. And then when war broke out, of course I was keen, along with my friend named Tommy Phillips, and we joined the army together. I remember we joined the army and went to the port of the barracks in Grimsby, and they took particulars of us, and I wasn't quite 18. I was 16 and a half, perhaps. 17 and a half. Anyway, I...
Did you join a specific regiment, do you recall?
No, not at that time. We spent our first night sleeping on the army's floor, it was a hard floor. And then the next day we moved to Warsaw. Is Warsaw in Staffordshire?
Yeah.
Warsaw in Staffordshire. And that's how I come to be in the South Staffordshire Regiment. And then from there, without any waiting, any training, we moved right to Dublin. During the...
You joined anticipating going to France, is that correct? Or going
That's where we're going to eventually, yes.
But you had joined anticipating going to fight... Imperial Germany.
That's right.
What were your feelings towards Germany at this time?
Well, I was too young to have any hateful feelings towards them. They were just the enemy. I remember when I was a boy, we always referred to the Germans as enemies. The Germans are coming. That was common knowledge. But instead of the Germans coming, we were going to them.
Did you feel that the war would be over at Christmas as the...
No, it didn't. In fact, matter of fact, then we hoped it wouldn't.
Because you wanted to get in there.
Yeah. So.
was there a real fear, though, that it would be over at Christmas on your part, or?
Oh, no, I don't think so. They got into trench warfare at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you get in trench warfare, there's not much victory.
Loggerheads, almost.
No.
So you joined the South Staffordshire Regiment, and instead of going to France, you were sent to Dublin. Now, why would you be sent there?
Well, because of the Irish Rebellion.
Because of the Irish.
See, I was the 5th Staff Suffrage Regiment. They were in France.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the 2nd 5th Battalion. And we went moved to Dublin.
Now, you joined as what? Now, did you have your commission? Or
oh,
did you...
No, I joined as a private.
I was
a private. Yes.
But did you not qualify during your cadet training at university?
No, at the college they couldn't. They wouldn't. We were just schoolboys and weren't qualified for commissions. To qualify for a commission, you had to go undergo a long course. However, I did. I applied for a commission in the Staffordshire Regiment, 2nd, 5th Staff Staffords, just. Well, they were stationed in England on the east coast.
This is prior to going to...
Prior to going over. Well, from there they went to Salisbury Plain.
And that training, of course.
The final training before going overseas.
What did your training consist of then? A lot of route marches and...
Oh, trench digging, route marches and fire and rifle fire and machine gun, Lewis gun.
Do you have Vickers then, or is that...
There was Vickers, but I wasn't trained in Vickers. No, just the Lewis.
What about equipment? Do you recall, was the equipment good, plentiful, or...?
Well, our personal equipment and the...
Personal and the one and equipment for training. Both, actually. Starting with your personal equipment, they outfit you in a uniform and everything right away? Or
uniform, yes. Kit, your pack and equipment, and your trenching tool. Not the rifle.
Rifles in short supply.
And marching, there was a full marching order, what they called full marching order. That was everything you possess in your pack.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it weighed 40 pounds.
Oh, God.
The whole thing weighed 40 pounds. On top of that, you carried a rifle.
And talk about your march down to Belfast.
Oh yes, that was after the rebellion in 1916. We marched to Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
From Dublin to Belfast.
Well, you went to Dublin first in what, 1916?
In 16, yes.
And prior to this, from
then after the rebellion, we moved out about 11 miles west of Dublin to a place named No, Ballycanal, south of Bristol, south of Belfast. I forget the name of it.
Let me just get this straight for myself then. In 1914-15, you trained, is that correct?
I was at school, training in the cadet battalion.
So in 14 you were still in school,
yeah.
In the cadet battalion,
yeah.
Then you joined in 15,
yeah.
And you trained with the... South Staffordshire?
No, in 16.
In 16?
Yes, 16. At 16 I left school and went to join the army.
I see.
Up to then I was just in the school cadet battalion.
So then you trained for a short time and then you were sent to Dublin to...
No, we weren't trained at all. We just gave our uniforms and boots and footies and shipped over to Dublin.
And just shipped to Dublin?
Yeah.
So you hit Dublin, do you recall what month in 1916?
Yes, April.
April. April 1916,
April
you hit Dublin.
April 1916, we hit Dublin. But we didn't stay in Dublin, we were shipped through Dublin to about 11 miles west of Dublin. Can't remember the town. We were on the canvas there.
So you go under canvas there, there's
yeah.
No garrison or barracks
no.
For you when you got
no.
There. What
no.
Was your first tasks there? You were to, I'm just trying to think, you're to put down the Irish Revolution, but how did you go about doing it? I guess it's a convoluted question. But.
How about, I came back to Dublin, and we camped in the General Rebellion, came back and camped in Phoenix Park in Dublin.
Mm-hmm. And then what, you would be patrolling the streets as they do today?
And then we weren't allowed to go around alone. We had to go around in pairs. And we had to carry a rifle, ammunition, in the magazine.
And this be what, Lee Enfield?
If we were, Shortley Enfield,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to go to a picture show. We had to take a rifle with us in Dublin.
It was that tense.
Yeah.
How did the people treat you?
Well, people treated very good. I had one, not a relation, but one, someone, friends, who referred me to go to this address in Dublin, where I didn't. They were very nice too. I took my friend, and they entertained us for supper one night. We went. But don't forget, at the same time, men were going in by those girls and going out and never came home.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it didn't happen a lot, but one or two occasions.
So what they're doing today in Ireland is...
Oh, it's nothing
Ireland
new.
Northern Ireland is nothing new.
Oh, no.
Same old story.
Mm.
Were the kids fighting as well then? As they
no.
are today, you didn't
no.
have to contend with that.
No, it's just a lot of local disagreement in a way. I remember there was one sergeant, me, a physical drill sergeant, who didn't like him. He didn't like us.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave us hell. But one Saturday night we saw him. I've been appointed with two men on O'Connell's Bridge in Dublin. And in his argument, these men just picked him up and threw him over the bridge.
Mm.
So we weren't trained soldiers then, so we didn't. But he got out again. He was on praying on the Monday. But these funny things. And then there was a case of a guard, a man on sentry in Phoenix Park. He challenged someone approaching him, and then somebody kept a body behind him and hit him on the back of the head and knocked him cold.
Mm.
And then these things I remember. There was one occasion of a corporal, tall fellow. He stood talking to someone near a lamppost. And he heard a ping, a bullet at the lamppost, and then licorice right onto his face, cut half his face off. Clean off. Amazing. But he turned up again later. Some month later, I'll be over that. Can't remember their names.
Now, what would you actually do? A lot of patrolling up and down, breaking up meetings, or?
Oh, no.
What was just the idea of having you there?
As far as I was concerned, we were just. Obeying orders, that's what it was. We weren't on patrol in the Dublin streets.
Was just the idea of having your presence there, do you think?
Well, that was the idea we didn't like. We were in uniform and the rebels weren't. You didn't know a rebel from anybody else.
From anyone else. How long did you stay in Ireland, sir?
I was in Ireland until... 16. We came out, we spent Christmas 1916 in a place called Ballinakinla, that's just south of Belfast. We marched from Dublin to Belfast in about how many days, I don't know, we average about 14 miles a day perhaps. And
walking.
That's enough walking.
40 on pack.
So full pack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 140 pounds.
The
rifle. College, and then we slept. We slept on the wherever we stopped. Maybe on the roadside once, but then we slept in barns, attic, top floors of barns, and places like that. Only two or three nights.
Well, what did you think of army life after this?
Well, I was getting broken into it then.
Did your commission come through? Or?
Oh no. Not for. I wouldn't apply for the. I hadn't applied for the commission yet.
Oh,
I didn't know I liked the army. I didn't think much of it. Really. But.
When did you come back to England?
Then we came back to England in about the new January or February of 17. And then we went to. Still with the 2nd, 5th Staffords. We went down to Salisbury Plain, convent, Abbey Convent. I wasn't there very long before the bunch of us were moved to a place called Mablethorpe in Lincolnshire, on the east coast. And there where I applied for a commission. And I was called to the order room to see the interview of the commanding officer, and he talked to me about the commission, and apparently he okayed because I was moved within a day or 2 hours, moved to Bristol, to the 3rd Officers Cadet Battalion, Bristol. There's my picture in one of those books, a blue book. I think it's in there, I'm not sure.
So you went to an officer cadet training school?
Officer cadet training school, infantry.
Infantry.
Yeah. And then... I said, well, that winter, I think it was after Christmas, when they announced in a parade one morning that the Allies were losing control of the air and they wanted volunteers to fly.
This would be for the Royal Flying Corps. This would be 1917.
That's right, 17.
And you were an officer cadet schooler, or?
Yes, I was in officer cadet school. I think I'd just about qualified for the infantry at that time. I'd got my commission, anyway.
And I guess you had to go and get yourself kitted out, is that right? As an officer, you had to buy your own uniforms and
things? Oh, in cadets, they fit you out an officer to kit in cadet while you're training. And then when I moved to the Royal Flying Corps, there wasn't much change in uniform. The uniform was the same, except for the badges. And ranks were the same. Pips on the shoulder or sleeves. then I was moved from Mablethorpe, I went to Bristol, and from Bristol I went to Reading. Reading's on the Thames, and that was the School of Military Aeronautics.
And this would be what month, sir?
I've been February 17, perhaps.
January or February
1917? No, wait a minute.
1918,
perhaps.
18, I think.
Christmas 1917 I spent in the Flying Corps Cadets in Reading.
So this would be early 18 then, you went to the...
Early 18.
Went to the flying
school.
The flying school.
No, I'm getting you mixed up now. No, they said it was early 18 when we went to the flying school, School of Military Aeronautics, where we took aircraft theory of aircraft construction, engines, and so on. Then about
just basic theory of flight.
Basic theory of flight.
Dehedral and all those good things.
That's right. And
were there any people washing out at this point?
Watching?
Washing out, or people who couldn't pass, I guess?
Oh, yes, there was one or two who couldn't pass or didn't want to pass this thing. You mean the flying?
Yes.
No, there weren't many. There weren't many who washed out on that. In the infantry, they did. But not the flying.
After the School of Aeronautics, you would go to elementary flying school, I guess, is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And do you recall where that was?
Yes, it was at Newmarket, on the racetrack there. The airdrome was right there. There were no flying during races. So we had a day off when the races were on. So...
Tell him some of the funny things that happened when you were learning, you know.
Oh, when first flight I ever had in my life was when the instructor came up to two of us talking, Harwich and three of us, for myself. And he says, I'll take one of you for a fly around now if you like. So then we had to spin a coin between the three of us, which one would go. And I won. And when I won, I wasn't too keen. So anyway, I went. I wouldn't go back down. And we flew around the race course and quite a nice flight and landed.
What kind of plane was it, do you recall?
Yes, it was a DH-6. A DH-6 is a DH-6 in its instructor's plane.
Okay, now we're talking to you. Look at it afterwards, maybe.
It was a two-seater. The instructor sat in the back seat, and
you sat in.
That's DH-6.
Mm-hmm.
And the people sat in front of him, and the instructor had the control. He could switch you off control, or he could take control if you made mistakes. So that was a safe enough plane. And then there's the occasion of the thrill of life when you first take an airplane up yourself.
So, yes.
Well, how much time did you have with instruction?
Yeah, how many hours?
How many hours flying in the air?
Yeah, with dual instruction.
Dual instruction, about... How many? About 10. 4 to 10 hours, perhaps. Between there. I forget the exact amount of flying. It depends upon the pupil, I suppose, how you... It didn't take me long, I don't think.
What was the shape of the equipment? Very good shape, poor shape?
Well, then, you see, at 1917, 1918, as far as we're concerned, it is good. It's tops.
Top equipment.
At that time. The propellers were wooden propellers.
Mm-hmm.
And,
now, were you... when you got your flight down and you soloed, I'm trying to think, would you be taught any tactics at this time as well? Aerial tactics?
No, I don't think so, no. No, and I was trained for night flying.
And how does that differ from the day in the training aspect?
Well, in the night flying, you have... Of course, I trained night flying in England before I went to France.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot in taking off at night and landing at night. In those days, 1918, we had navigation lights on the wingtips. And we blinked those navigation lights when we're coming down. Then they put the searchlight on. Then you land over the top of the searchlight and down the beam. And at the end of the field is a red light. You know, you had to be down before we got there.
That's the red light. You didn't have the flares underneath the wings then, eh? Or...
Oh, no flares underneath the wing. No, no, we never had those. In France, we had flares on the aerodrome.
On the aerodrome itself.
Yeah.
So you'd be landing at this race course as long as it wasn't race day. Is that the idea?
Yeah. Flying and taking off and flying. Hey, the whole thing in flying is landing.
Yeah.
If you can land a plane, you can fly one. There's nothing in flying of an airplane.
Now, you wouldn't be taught any aerobatics at this time, I gather, is that right?
Oh, no, I wasn't trained for fighter.
You were chosen specifically for bombers, is that correct?
Night bombing, yeah.
Night bombing.
Yeah.
And you would, progress into different types of aircraft? It would be multi-engine aircraft, I assume, is that right?
Oh, yes, we progressed, and I finished up flying the FE-2B.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether, I think that perhaps it was a bomber. We carried 12 bombs, 3 racks.
But how much were the bombs weighed?
120 pounds, I think. Oh, gas, that was another question, too. You see, the gas tank held 30 gallons, and the engine used 10 gallons an hour. So we had to be there and back in 3 hours.
So you had 3 hours flying time with that payload.
To get back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there was an emergency tank on the top, held about, 4 gallons.
So you could put it down somewhere? Is that the idea behind it? What about armaments other than the bombs, machine guns? Do you have built-in guns or?
No, we had just had the Lewis gun. That's the only gun we had. It was a Lewis gun with a drum on top.
And you sat over the gas tank, the pilot.
The pilot sits over
that's
the gas
Lewis
tank.
That's the observers used in there.
Then the observer would sit way up front, is that that's correct? Right.
Yes, we had no straps. And we weren't strapped in.
And you were outside the plane?
Outside, in the cockpit.
In the cockpit, but the cockpit wasn't sealed.
No.
What about uniform and things? No, what special equipment were you issued?
We had what they call a Sidcot suit. It was a fur-lined coverall-like.
Mm-hmm.
The fur collar.
Over this way, but
not. No, that's a tunic.
Would you have the maternity jacket tunic at this time?
Yes,
as well?
Oh yes, we had the maternity jacket. That's RFC.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't RAF.
It would be the RFC.
RFC was the maternity jacket. That's the double breasted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You would be, I guess, big boots and.
Flying boots to the hip, yep. Fur lined.
The helm, the leather cap.
Leather cap, down. Yes. Skull cap, and we had a telephone receiver in one ear.
So you had wireless communication, or?
Oh, we had.
Or is this just communication with the observer?
We dropped an aerial. We had an aerial. We dropped.
Uh-huh.
But at night, I don't think I ever used it. Couldn't call for help because nobody could help you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you trained in Newmarket, then when you qualified, which wouldn't take very long at all at this time.
No.
You were what, shipped overseas to a squadron or to a?
No, I was put on the London Defence.
Mm-hmm.
A place called Hornchurch, just east of London. I wasn't there very long before I was sent to France.
When you got to France, where did they?
Well, there's what they call a pool pilot's range.
Mm-hmm.
And you're shipped to pool pilot's range. That was not very far from, what's that French port? B.
Brest?
No. We were so far.
No,
doesn't matter anyway. Because we had to report somewhere in this town, and then they sent us to by a truck to the pool pilot's range. And at the pool pilot's range, we were on the campus again, and we had to spend our time with firing practice, machine gun practice, and also fly clay pigeons with shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a sport, that was. Let's shoot pigeon up there. It down. And then they had to stay at the pool pilot's range until there was a casualty, I suppose, and somebody wanted airport, wanted a night pilot, and eventually my call came and the Crosley tender came for me, bag of baggage, and I went to this 101st Squadron.
It'd be 101 RFC.
101 RFC, yes. That was right, but don't forget that was after, it was still there, it was the RAF then.
Well, this would be after April?
Time.
This would be after April 1918?
After April 1918.
So it would be RAF.
I was stationed at April 1st, 1918.
It was for the sun, wasn't it, dear?
No, I think I was in England that time. April. No, I must have been in France. I forget now. Anyway.
You went to 101 Squadron. What was like
squadron.
There?
Well, the 101 Squadron, we have three or four flights, A, B, C, and D. And each flight was separate. And
how many bombers in a flight?
Posted, eh?
How many bombers in a flight then?
About six, I think, six
well,
bombers.
Six
to
bombers
flight,
in a flight.
Mm-hmm. Six bombers to flight, and we had a separate mess. We We were in a farmhouse, and this farmhouse was in the middle of an orchard, and the farmer's daughter used to do the cooking and waiting at the table. I remember well because her name was Lanoline. And she was kind of a good girl. She would stay up all night. We'd be out all night and get back early in the morning. So if we got back early off one flight, we could go right up back on another one. Fill up with gas and off we go again. Mm-hmm.
No, the planes in the squadron were...
They're all the same, all FE-2Bs.
FE-2Bs.
Yeah.
And,
The same planes were used as scouts at one time, early in the war.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Now, the Germans had their big push thwarted in 17 in the air. Was there much resistance left in the air, or was it just our...
No, resistance wasn't much in the air.
What about anti-aircraft fire, though?
Oh, yes, lots of that. Lots of anti-aircraft fire.
Very accurate?
Oh, yes, so at times, any time we came back with our planes like a salt shaker, full of holes. It's a wonder we ain't hit. But I was never hit myself. No one was the fellow.
Now, you would go out. You would have an observer?
Mm-hmm.
Now, your rank at this time would be what?
Lieutenant.
Mm-hmm. And your observer, would he be an infantry officer as
lieutenant.
Well?
He may be lieutenant, he may be a NCO. But we all stayed together, the officer I was with, named Phillips. He was there. It happened that... I was going to say my wife knew him because she recognized his photograph in my apartment.
He was my Sunday school teacher.
he was my Sunday school teacher. She was a good girl then. Well, anyway, what would...
So you would go out on a flight. What would your general target be? Do you recall?
Yeah, so we would have a meeting before in the evening of what the objectives were.
Well, you'd sleep all day, I gather.
Sleep all day. Then we took off, when you take off at night.